Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death, and deliver all those through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery.
If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there is no reason to not live in fear.
Okay, if the scriptures are just a bunch of fairy tales, and if, you know, these people that follow them are just a bunch of sheep, well, if anybody should have thought twice, it would have been the disciples. I mean, when he was going to get crucified, they scattered, and they were safe, and they were good to go. And yet, weeks and months and years later, all of a sudden, these dudes are running around and getting themselves killed, hung upside down and crucified. Heads chopped off, tortured. And then from there, a large group of people just start going and going and going. And when I say going, they're dying and they're getting tortured and persecuted and beat up.
So back to my first question, which was, how would you live your life differently? How would I live my life differently if I truly believed on a fundamental level that I would never die? The disciples who witnessed the resurrection figured this out in a real fundamental way because they actually saw Jesus walking around. And these witnesses to the resurrection had their paradigms about death totally shattered. God blew the door off the hinges to heaven and let them peer inside. This death thing that loomed so large and no one was unaffected by its imminence and its certainty, became very small and kind of pitiful next to a walking, glorified Jesus who had been brutally stripped of life and dignity only days before, but then was seen walking around. The question about death finally had an answer, and the speculation that God had a plan for life, and that means physical life, finally had an answer.
Romans 6:23, what's that say? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When God gives us the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, it is not a typical gift in the framework of what we normally constitute as a gift. I long to live a lifestyle in such a way in which is so rooted in the Father's love for me that I can live by faith and do radical things that put me in jeopardy. That's not an easy thing. We are incredibly selfish individuals. This is who humans are. We are selfish. We want something out of it. We give a gift, give me a tax refund. Put me on a stage and clap for me. I want my name on a plaque. You know, you build that building, I want my name on the plaque. Why would we do something just so that my right hand doesn't know what my left hand is doing? I mean, even believers, when you stop and really think about it, the majority of who we are and the majority of spirituality is rooted in selfishness. I mean, I go to church and I do spiritual things so that either I can get crowns in heaven or God will like me more or I'll be an elder one day and respected in my community. Does any of that stuff really matter when you die? Is anything that you have in your bank account or at your house gonna go with you when you die? There's not a single hearse that goes down the road that has a U-Haul following it. There's nothing that's gonna be tucked underneath your coffin or put in your little thing when you get burnt up and go in your urns and is somehow gonna be valuable in the future. Our lives are useless. We live lives in which have absolutely no eternal significance to them in regards to the things in which we can touch, taste, and see. If we can touch, taste, and see it, and we're living in that realm for the now, in for us, in for me, in for my, that's not the kingdom. Me being led to take my family to Africa could result in my wife getting raped and dying of HIV, or my daughter getting her head slit, or my son getting a bullet through his chest. Like, this is the stuff in which we put ourselves, we say, Lord, I trust you, I love you. When God leads us to do things that require faith, you better bet on it that the enemy is gonna give you about a million reasons not to do it. And those reasons are gonna make sense. And what do you have to justify doing these things? God led me? I'm sitting here burying my son or my daughter or my wife, and what do I have to work with? Is God led me to do this? Yes, that's what you have to work with. And in doing that, you will suffer, but in doing that, you will live. I can't do it. I can't do it. I long to do it. I live for this because I know that I've tasted and seen the Lord in this area. If there's an area in my life in which has caused spiritual growth and maturity in life, it is in the area of walking in freedom, of knowing the Father's heartbeat for me, of experiencing the Father's heartbeat for me, and of living that out. And I've seen freedom in other people's lives. The thing in which sets the captives free is the heartbeat of the Father, is the good news, is the reality that we are beloved sons and daughters of the kingdom, the Most High God. It's a gift. It's not anything that we have to earn or work for or try to muster up. It's something in which we have to embrace, and by embracing it, it'll so radically transform our lives that we'll be able to touch people and reach people and deliver people from extremely difficult circumstances, and we'll know that we didn't have the ability to do it.
And the key is getting the kingdom paradigm, getting the way of thinking that is formed by, okay, I no longer am going to see the world as a place that's defined by death and suffering. I'm going to see it as a place that's defined by the life of God brought near and brought into me. God is now, I know that he's victorious. Shape my mind, reshape my mind, Father, so that I can see the world and what I'm about to do in terms of what the kingdom is and what you're doing. And then respond. Change who I am and change the way I'm living. I lay my mind, my heart down. I want to repent of these mindsets that say, if I don't get what's mine, well, I only have a certain amount of time here. I want you to place your life within me, Father, so that I can react to the eternal, abundant life that is found in the risen Christ and not in the paradigm of death. You do what you're doing right now and just take hold of each one of our minds and change us.